home building and remodeling show. Let's go! Welcome everybody to the home building and remodeling show. My name is Chris Kirby and I'll be your host. I am the owner of three construction companies on the Alabama Gulf Coast. The show is about residential construction. We're going to cover topics of home building and remodeling. Are you thinking of doing a remodel or building a home? Are you a contractor looking to improve your knowledge base or grow your business? Have you ever done a remodel project or built a home? There were so many things you wish you knew or that you could have done differently during the process. Then this show is for you. We break down the process of building and remodeling and how to have the best results during your project. Whether you're a DIYer looking for tips, someone looking to hire a contractor to do a project, or a contractor looking to expand your knowledge base or your business. Welcome aboard. Glad to have you. Stay tuned. We kick off the show with my thoughts on home building and remodeling. I'll share best practices and talk about some of our experiences in business and out in the field. These shared thoughts and lessons learned are meant to help you on your very own journey. Let's go. So I get asked this all the time, you know, how did you guys grow so fast? But the thing is that makes us a little different is I came into this with that background in the Navy and the military of team. And I knew I wanted this to be a team effort. I didn't have the knowledge to do this by myself. I needed my dad. I needed my brother-in-law. And as we started out, I knew I needed more than that. I knew I wanted to build this into something to where I was leading people and people were coming to me for advice and we were taking care of people just like I did in the Navy. And so the only way to do that was to hire people, W-2s, not subcontract everything, which is pretty common and traditional in our construction industry. And don't get me wrong, we still do that. I still have subs that I work with, electricians, plumbers, things like that, site guys. But for the most part, I have of the 25, they're all W-2 employees. We offer benefits and yes, payroll is very expensive, but I didn't start out with 25 people. I started out with three and we built up, and over the 6 years, we've always put a plan in place for our next move. You know, we need a production team out in the field. One team equals one person in the office that we could, you know, use as overhead. So it was a materials clerk. We were starting to get a lot of material needs. We hired a materials clerk. Then it was an accountant. The books started, you know, we were doing a lot of transactions. So I needed to get an accountant or some accounting help, which my wife was taking care of, but part time with her teaching. And so it was really me messing up the books all year. And then during the summer, she would fix them and meet with a tax man and things like that. So it wasn't the best system. It took us time. And now I have, you know, a general manager, but this is all with the growth. Our receptionist is my sister. Now that was the fourth person that was added to the team, and that was to answer phones and stuff like that. We paid a tremendous amount of money into a home advisor when I first started to generate leads. And some came organically. Some people knew my dad. Some people knew Mark. Some people knew me. We're from here, local community. Once they heard we were doing it other than just for flipping our own houses, then we were able to grow organically. But I paid a lot of money to lead generation platforms such as Home Advisor and Angie at first, especially that first year. And then we became a little more known, and then we started narrowing down our niche. And once we did that, that's when we were really able to start putting processes in place. And as we grew, our revenue grew, our need to expand grew, and we knew, okay, production and team members first. So all of the people in the office, they make money. Their paychecks are due to the people working out in the field. And so I knew we had to be competitive with our pay. I knew that we had to bring in people who had that right mindset, that money wasn't the immediate priority, that coming to work for a company with a positive culture was important. And that's kind of how we hire now. I do hire for talent. However, what's more important than that is culture. Coming in with the right attitude, good vibes. Are you trustworthy? Are you willing to lead a team? Are you willing to follow? Those things are kind of some of the things that are important to me. And so we've been through, 60 people in the past 6 years to get to the 25 we have. And that's going to be in our industry, in the construction industry, that is going to be prevalent. You're going to go through 10 to get one. We've done it all as far as Facebook job applications. We've done hiring services. I used a local employment service company before. We've picked up people here and there from all that. Indeed, I've got a couple of really good people that work for me now that came off of Indeed. So there's different avenues, business networking. A lot of the new executive leadership team came from some of the business networks I was in. And so it's taken this long to get to where we are. We put everything back into the company. I pay myself right in the middle of our pay scale. And so I'm doing all that for a reason. I'm giving up a lot of that profit personally so I can reinvest into the company and continue to grow. Instead of paying myself a large amount, I'd rather share that and bring in people that are smarter than me that can do some of the tasks, admin. I have a general manager now that takes care of the day-to-day office duties and HR and different things like that. So we started out with that mindset, and luckily we've been able to do that. And it does cost a lot of money. Our payroll is heavy. Our taxes are heavy. Our profit isn't just through the roof yet. But every piece we've put in place has been for a reason, and it's to further grow this company. So with that in mind, we want to talk about what we've done right, what we've done wrong. We want to share our story. I'm going to talk to some people that want to share their story. That way you are getting the best information. And hopefully we have some fun along the way. And the goal is to make sure that we're giving you real raw data, real raw information from people out in the field, from people who are doing this every day, understanding your struggles. And then for the consumer, just letting them pick up nuggets of information. They don't know what they're doing. And I think the more knowledge that a contractor can provide their client, the better it is. There's this belief that they don't need to know everything, and which in some cases that may be true, but they need to have the right information. I hope that you hang out with us and that you're able to glean some information, take it back, use it in your company. And that's really why I want to do this. I enjoy talking about it. I enjoy being in our industry, and I want to do something a little different. Contractor has been a dirty word for far too long. It's also looked at as a last resort when it's a professional career. It can be a professional career. It should be a professional career. And we've got to change the narrative on that. So that's what this show is about. Let's change that narrative. Let's show them that we are professional, not just a last resort. And now we move into Shop Talk. It's the portion of the show where I bring in a co-host and we cover trending topics in home building and remodeling. Hope you enjoy. Let's go. So this week I've got our estimator, Pete Bedsole. I turned over estimating recently to him, and we're going to talk about a hot button topic, which is estimating a home build. We're going to kind of just start from the beginning. And when you're looking at, when somebody calls the office here, they're usually calling for a remodel or they're calling to get a custom home built. And usually what we do is our receptionist will either pass them along to the estimator on the remodel side or now the estimator on the custom home build side. Once they call you, the initial discussion is similar to, hey, I'm looking at getting a custom home or a barn dominium, not sure where to begin, have a lot somewhere locally. What do I need to do?
Well, first of all, what we start out with is kind of an idea of what they want. What are they looking for?
Right.
Do they have drawings? Do they have some kind of a blueprint or a plan? what exactly, you know, maybe some of the questions we ask, size of it, what kind of a building are you looking for? How is it going to be laid out? Just a couple simple questions just to start out with. I then go, you know, as far as some of the pre-construction stuff, mm-hmm. a lot of people have a misconception of, hey, I want to build a house. I've got my plans. You know, they have the idea that, hey, if we go, we're going to start really quick. So there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes that they don't know about.
So when you say they're wanting to start really quick, so they call and really they have little information or little done. Sometimes clients understand there's a pre-construction process. It takes a little bit to get a home started, but you do have people that call and say, hey, listen, do you think we can get started, you know, within the next couple of weeks? And really, what's your answer to that when they call and ask about getting started in the next couple of weeks?
You got to find out if they've got the requirements for that pre-construction. Do they have a 911 address? What about septic? What about the surveys? What about the all the pre-construction work that goes behind the scenes?
Gotcha.
That we have to have for permitting. And a lot of people don't understand that. They have no clue.
Yeah.
This could be their first build or whatever. So I always start out pre-construction takes time. It can take up to a couple months.
Yeah.
Getting all that in order as far as because you're dealing with local municipalities or county officials.
What would you say if for us around here locally, Gulf Coast, Alabama, if they're starting from zero, if they've got nothing, no plans, they just bought the lot, no idea what it takes to build a custom home, what is the first thing that you're gonna tell them to do?
First thing I'm gonna do is I'm gonna connect them with, we use an architect. Let's get something on drawn out.
Yes.
Of what they're looking for. Give them a couple websites that we use, even some of the, depending on whether they're gonna go with a barn dominium, conventional stick built house.
Just to get an idea, right? Exactly. So like when you say the websites, you mean something like homeplans.net or something like that, so that you can at least get a rough idea of what they're trying to build.
Correct.
I'll connect them with our guy, Rob, who does our plans, and they go back and forth. They may send him a plan to put together something for him. And then what? Do we do a site visit to look at the lot?
I'd like to see a site prior to drawing up plans, because a lot of the times architects are going to draw theirs based on a flat surface.
Sure.
They're not going to take into account the topography. So it does help. There's several things falling in right in that same time frame. One,
let me pause you. You used a big word. You said what? Topography? Okay. So let's, for all us laymans.
The lay of the land.
The lay of the land. Got it. So you're saying when the architect looks, he's basically going to build it. However, you're looking at a flat lot. Correct. And he's building it to a flat lot. If he himself or she does not come out and visit the site, they don't know whether or not the foundation has to be built up.
Correct.
or how that's going to work.
Correct.
Gotcha. Okay.
They could have to do a cinder block foundation.
Yeah.
Which could have, that all falls into the estimating process of what goes into build that foundation.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have that information. Dealing with them to get something a little more concrete on what they're looking for to build, size of house, structure, all that factors in. It's the pre-construction process as well.
Thank ours.
On that.
Do you have a copy in front of you? How many steps are on our pre-construction list?
We have 35.
So 35 steps. Now, this is all pre-construction. This is before we even break ground.
Correct.
All of that has to be done before we break ground.
Correct.
And so that's why when the client calls, you really have to know on the 35 items what they already have done before you can say, well, sure, we can break ground here. If they've got most of it done, we can move
Really quick.
Really quick. Yeah, okay. Way. Now, the next thing would be once they go through the pre-construction and stuff like that, that stuff can be done while the architect's drawing the plans. So they can be getting surveys. They can be doing a lot of this stuff, visiting the site, getting the lot cleared. They can move on some things. But once they're through that part, when you're looking at estimating, let's talk about what are some of the things that you look at and how do you do it? Do you use a checklist? Do you have a template? Are you sitting down with a pen and paper? Like, how are you literally writing an estimate for these clients?
Our estimates are broken up into two different sections. We do the actual construction phase, which is a fixed cost. We go in, we figure off the plans, which always helps. The more details we have that I have.
Sure.
The more accurate I can make this estimate be. Somebody comes in and say they want to do a 20 by 40 metal building in a barn dominium style and want to build out a 1,000 square feet.
Yeah.
To me, that is so general. I can throw out an estimate, but things that we don't know is how is that 1,000 square foot broke up? That's going to determine the framing phase of it. How much material are we looking at to frame that out? Is it a open floor plan? Do we have two or three rooms? Do we have one bathroom, two bathrooms? How many windows are in that? How many doors, exits? All that factors in. That's why we want to try to get with an architect to get something drawn out.
Absolutely. And then, you know, just sticking to the framing portion of the estimate, one of the other factors is your ceiling height. Correct. So, if you have 8-foot ceiling, 9-foot, 10-foot, and not, you know, four, cost a little more as you start to raise that ceiling height. And so you got to look at the cost of lumber. You're talking longer, maybe thicker lumber, different things like that. So, okay.
Correct. And then also how they build it out, say, for instance, on a great room, if they have vaulted ceilings, then you're dealing with infrastructure as far as the frame out of the ceiling joists. Are we going to go with engineered ceiling joists? All those things factor in on how this project is going to progress forward.
Right. And some of the biggest determinant factors are your roof line, your foundation. But when you start doing tray ceilings or vaulted ceilings and the framing becomes more complicated, right? That price goes up a little bit. And your roof line is choppy, which means you may have dormers or it's a very, what roofers would call a cut up roof. That stuff costs money both on the roofer side or shingles because of the valleys and different ridges and flashing, right, materials, but also on the framer side because they got to figure out, you know, it's not just a straight run roof. It's cut up, so that costs more money.
Correct. And not only that, but when the architects are throwing it together on paper, it's easy to draw it out, but when you're starting to work with those angles and those pitches, sometimes the more you have, the harder it is to get everything lined up.
Absolutely.
So yeah. Size affects that too. The smaller the house sometimes is more cost to build.
Yeah, it really just ends on the design and layout, right. The architecture detail of the house. Okay. So you go from, you've got your foundation. We kind of talked about the lay of the land. It's going to determine how you do the foundation. Then you went into your framing cost, and there's a lot of variables just in framing. Typically, on the framing, we look at a price per square foot. Okay, and then from framing, we move, that's rough framing. You start to move into like your exterior doors and windows. And those prices, we do a labor cost, right, to install the windows and doors. But then you also have an allowance.
Correct.
Okay, so before we move forward with the line items of construction, let's talk about, I said allowance. So typically in home building, there are two types of contracts, and we'll do a whole show about contracts later, but we use a fixed fee contract, and the reason that we use the fixed fee versus the other type of contract, which is a cost plus, is because there's multiple reasons. One, the bank likes a set cost to build a home. Two, we do the fixed fee with allowances, which means we typically don't make money off the allowances. You can shop the details of your home with those allowances. We give you a budget with a good, better, best. And then three, you as the client know your cost to build.
Correct.
Right? The cost plus is where we give you a rough number to build the structure of the home, $175 a square foot, and then the house, you know, is 1,000 square foot, so it's $175,000, and we're going to have a fee of 15% on that. You do the math, whatever 175 times 15 is. That guarantees our percentage. However, if the cost of the home build goes up, our 15% goes of 175 turns into 15% of 180, turns into 190. So it could look like we're incentivizing driving the cost up. One reason I don't use that cost plus contract. Then the second reason is because when we do a fixed fee with allowances, we help you shop that thing through. But on the cost plus, the client is really wanting to do a cost plus so they can shop this thing out. And what that does is delay the build. Correct. So when we do the fixed fee, we give you allowances. You pick those items out. We order them. We know our timelines. Other way around, if we're, you know, relying on you to really kind of pick items and shop around, it causes so many delays during the build process. So it's a little bit harder. I will say, I believe there are more cost plus contracts out there right now due to the market. And that should be kind of getting reined in, because it was very hard on us as a company doing fixed fees during the COVID era with the supply chain issues. We took some hits and lost some money on some builds, right? And it was very tough. So a lot of builders have changed over to the cost plus, so they can guarantee a return. Anyway, okay, so now that you know what type of contract, we move forward with the discussion on how we estimate. So we did the foundation, framing, windows and doors. That's usually for the labor. It's a cost per unit, right? Per door unit, per window. And then we also, on the allowances, we kind of take an average of our builds, a regular window versus an impact. And then we say, okay, you've got 20 windows at X amount. Here's your allowance for windows.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Say that you got 10 windows at $500.
Sure.
That's for a good level builder's grade window, impact resistant or non, whichever. And so you'd have $5,000 would be your allowance in that case. Same goes down the road. We do the same thing for doors. We do for your trim. So every little line item has an allowance that we allow the client to actually make the selection.
Gotcha. And kind of these lines, you just kind of move on down, and we don't necessarily need to go through every line. But what you do is you use your past builds and past projects as a frame of reference. And that's really how you come up with your cost to build on the construction side. On the talent side, those numbers, we revamp those every now and then. We just totally revamped our system and offer our clients a good, better, best. Can you tell me what that's about?
By doing breaking it up into a good, better, best, it gives them the option to...
What is good, better, best? What does that mean?
Good, better, best is you take items and you start out base like a builder's grade product.
Sure.
Say, for instance, a sink fixture or
now,
a faucet.
Clarify this. And this is what I really want to hit home. Builder's grade is a good product.
Correct.
That does not mean we are degrading the quality of our build by using a builder's grade product.
Correct.
That means this product is basic and it's more affordable.
Correct.
Okay. So that's what the good is. And builder's grade, you might hear that type of stuff. And yes, our good level is a good home build.
Correct.
Yeah.
And you step up to a better product. Obviously, it'd be like you'd maybe do a little bit more quality of a faucet, and then you've got a best, which would be a higher end. And then we do give the client an option should they really want something out of the park.
Yeah.
Like a luxury item.
Right. And that's kind of how we consider it. So we've got good, better, best.
Correct.
And then we've got luxury because there are certain items that we can't put a price on. These clients can really choose to go haywire with stuff of, you know, and we just don't know the cost. So if you got it, you got it. We give you that. We just don't put a price in that category.
Exactly. And I mean, that, it gives them the option because, I mean, it's, if you go in there with a set fee, and some of the track home builders that are building around us.
Yeah, production guys, production builders.
Literally, they may, I mean, you may have, you know, A or B selection.
Sure.
And this gives the client the option, not necessarily of an A or B, but you've got a category where you've got a general, say, for a faucet might be $75 or even $100.
Sure.
For good. That gives you an option of 10, 15, 20 different options within that. So you're not set on A or B brush nickel or antique bronze.
Right.
And it just gives them a little more selection. They can more customize that house.
Yeah. And what it does is it puts them in a budget.
Correct.
Right? So they are getting to truly select these items, but they're being put into a budget so they know. And sometimes they're going to care more about the faucets than the hardware. So they may be in multiple categories.
Correct.
They may, I want the best master bathroom, but I don't, give me basic hardware throughout the house.
Correct.
You know, different things like that, that we kind of try to work through for them to either save money or, again, get what they want regardless of the money. It's truly custom home at that point.
Correct. And it always helps to have the client select their section prior to doing an estimate. If they have the opportunity to go through these line items and select, yeah, you know, in a kitchen, I want my kitchen. That's where I'm going to spend a lot of my time. I want a higher end level of cabinets, a better sink, better appliances. We may not use the spare bathroom. Let's go with a basic sink and stuff in that. So it gives them the option to make those selections, but it also helps me as an estimator when I have that information. I can be more detailed, as I was talking earlier. The more information I have, the more accurate that estimate is going to be.
Yeah.
And the smoother that pre-construction up to the build is going to be.
Gotcha. So we've now put together the cost of construction, the builds. Those are kind of your set structured fixed costs, which is, you know, HVAC, plumbing, framing, foundation, all of those types of things. Labor for windows and doors and floor coverings and all that. That's into your construction costs. Then your allowances are all the things that you have, you know, that they are going to make selections on. And you kind of take the construction cost, the allowance cost, and then we have some optional items, you know, that sometimes they want to get all they can out of the money the bank is going to give them. So they want, okay, go ahead and throw a fence in there. Go ahead and throw a pergola in there so I can get it mortgaged in. And so we have this optional add-on section. So when you add all of those things up off of the details and specs from the plans and then that client meeting that we do, it gives us that number, that final number. And they can take that to the bank and stuff like that. Okay. So that's a little bit about how we operate. We estimate. Pete spends, how many estimates do you think since I turned it over about 2 weeks ago, how many estimates do you think you've worked on so far?
I've probably been on, I would say, probably close to 15, going back on some that we've already been working on.
15, which is good for a custom builder to be working on that many in this market, because we were definitely kind of, you know, leery about the interest rate and stuff like that. But here on the Gulf Coast, we're in a bubble, so it seems to be steady, and we're always looking at how we can help the client. And so we wanted to talk a little bit about our estimating process, what we do. So really, that initial phone call, you kind of set up a meeting with the client, you go to their site, look at the site, so you have an idea of how to work the foundation and stuff like that. And then you sit down and well, you'll connect them with the architect, get the plans drawn, and then you're able to kind of give them some more hard numbers. Right. And then once the engineer, really, we try to wait till the engineer is done, because they may change the structure, add cost to the engineering, make things a little bit different. So once they're done, you can really give them that hard, here's your number, here's how much it's going to cost to build the home.
Correct. And any time before that, I mean, you got clients that are going to come in with a hand-drawn plan for themselves. And that, even though it does help us, those are still going to be rough numbers.
Sure. Very rough, very right? Rough. Because what our architect does a very good job of, and, you know, if you're local, use the guy. Even if you're not local, he can help you out. Does a phenomenal job. His name's Rob Winter. What he does a good job of is detailing the inside, as well as not just giving you elevation drawings and floor planning and stuff like that, but the scheduling he does, the windows, the cabinets, the doors.
Right.
He does a 3D virtual walkthrough so the clients can kind of see the house before they get it. He does a very good job of that, and that helps the builder. That helps us right price and estimate and bid this thing properly. Okay, Pete, I appreciate you talking about estimating. I want to end the conversation about estimating. I hope you guys enjoyed that segment. Thanks for joining us today. As always, we are grateful for our listeners and your continued support. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on social media via Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Get more info at our website, www.thehomebuildingshow.com. And as always, remember who we are, the Home Building and Remodeling Show.